difference does the true name make? Hi, this is Stefania. We're in Chapter 10. Chapter 10, the title is The Name in Prophecy. What difference does the true name make anyway? Well, of course it does make a lot of difference. Perhaps we can grasp a better understanding if we look into prophecy about the true names. There are many passages that can be used, but we'll just look at a few. Isaiah 52:6, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I." My people shall know my name, Isaiah 52. Isaiah, after remarking in his previous verse that the trials his people are going through at this time, it's a clear prophecy that his people, just prior to the return of the Messiah, will know his name. Revelation 3:8. Those Philadelphians, Revelation 3:8, the assembly of Philadelphia, who kept my word and have not denied my name, it seems indicated that there will be some at the return of the Messiah who will know his name and not deny it. Joel could well be added. Joel 2:32, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered." This is in the New Testament, in Romans 10:13 almost exactly, and in Acts 2:21. So Joel 2:32, Romans 10:13, Acts 2:21. Does it conflict with Philippians 2:10? Some claim it does. Well, not at all. When I understand that Yahusha, commonly called Jesus, there in the King James, is the Yahweh member speaking in the Old Testament. This Yahweh's claim in Malachi 3:6 that I am Yahweh, I change not, stand sure. There are no doubt many who dispute this analysis of this passage, but I do feel that it is applicable. So that was Philippians 2:10, Malachi 3:6, if you'd like to look those up. Malachi 4:5, we find a statement made by the prophet. It's the last passage in the so-called Old Testament and bears understanding. Malachi 4, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I smite the earth with a curse, or with utter destruction." If we look at the life of Elijah, or Elijah, we can better understand. The nation of Israel, the northern tribes, had so departed from Yahweh that they mostly forgot their true mighty one, substituting Baal in his place. Well, that's just the case as today. Many thought that they were serving the true mighty one, not knowing that they had been led astray by their own leaders. The mission of Elijah then was to turn the people back to Yahweh instead of the substitute that they had been taught. Well, it's many a church in every corner. Yahweh knew that they would not listen without supernatural intervention. Thus he sent Elijah, who through a series of acts, the most noted being at Mount Carmel, showed them that Yahweh was the Mighty One and is the Mighty One of Yisrael. Have we forgotten the name of our Mighty One? The striking parallel between Elijah and Elisha, or Elisha, meaning Savior, and Moses and Yahshua, or Joshua, Moses and Yahshua, should be of interest to this serious disciple. There seems to be a correlation between them and the two witnesses in Revelation 11, 1-6, and that's too lengthy for this brief study. Can we believe that we are less degenerate than Yisrael at the time of Elijah, at the time of Elijah, that we are less degenerate than those times? Hardly. Thus it seems that Yahweh sent Elijah to supernaturally remind this age of his name. So, share Malachi 4:5 with others. I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart, and so on. My mighty one is Yahweh. The family name. In Ephesians, Paul is telling the Ephesians he was instructed to preach, recounting his instructions and trials. He proceeds to tell them that, in chapter 3, 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Master Yahusha the Anointed, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So I bow my knees unto the Father of our Master Yahusha the Anointed. Paul is telling us that we, those of his family, all bear his name, not Paul's name, but Yahusha's name. Of course, we see in Revelation that we are to receive his name. In chapter 3, Revelation 3:12. Here we go now. Hang on. Buckle up. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of Yahweh, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my mighty one, and the name of the city of my mighty one, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my mighty one, and I will write upon him my new name." That was chapter 3. Chapter 7:3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our mighty one in their foreheads." Chapter 14, verse 1, "And I looked, and lo, the Lamb stood on the Mount Zion." Now that's the correct interpretation. "The Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads." In chapter 22, verse 4, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." So we have, "I will write upon him the name of my mighty one, and I will write upon him my new name." They're in chapter 3. Chapter 7, "They sealed the servants in their foreheads." Chapter 14, "Having his Father's name written in their foreheads." 144,000, having his Father's name. And chapter 22, "His name shall be in their foreheads." Chapter 22, verse 4. It's pretty obvious that we who are his true disciples, we hope that you and I are included in that group. It seems obvious that we shall have his name. That name which will seal us in those final hours of this society. The family name of the mighty one, which is Yahweh, comes from the Tetragrammaton, YHVH. Where does that come from? Where does the Tetragrammaton or YHVH come from? It comes from the scriptures. You may not find it in your scriptures, but you'll find it, well, you would find it by going to the concordance, Strong's Concordance. If you look at the word Lord in the Hebrew, it is YHVH. So actually, Baal is Lord, but Yahweh is not Baal, obviously. Better. Many people, as we said here at the beginning of this broadcast, on this short broadcast, that they confuse Yahweh's name and Baal's name. There's much confusion all over the place there. So it's our hope and our only hope, indeed, if we are to be having immortal life as his sons, that we must have his name. Thus we see it is prophesied that we will know his name, and that we will bear that name ourselves. What difference does the true name make? The separated name in prophecy, here on YahvehYahweh.name. I'm Stephen Yah, and that's What's New.